Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We're live world on the award-winning Close Up Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters. It's noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, and it is March 30th, 2022. And this is part five of an exclusive series we're doing with education advocate Santora. She's extraordinary. She's been doing this since 1967, being very involved in the educational system and for really the betterment of children. First, her students initially as an educator and teacher, and then continuing in that vein and in that path. She's also been a powerful advocate for education her entire life. Her educational scholarship fund was actually born out of that incredible desire to want to really inspire and empower young minds. That has awarded well beyond $500,000 of scholarships to New York City's elementary, middle school, and high school students. She says, you know, in our society today, everything is divided into right and left politics, and it's very difficult to have conversations with people who are on the opposite side of that political divide, even people that you love. We're in the midst of an extraordinary and very inspiring series with Maureen, really one that I think a lot of people are gaining benefit from, because a lot of what she is sharing with us is eye-opening, first-time knowledge building for a lot of our audience. You're probably not aware of some of the things that go on behind the scenes within the educational system. So Maureen has always been somebody who's passionate and enthusiastic. And let me tell you, when there's a cause and Maureen Santora believes in it, you want her on your side. I keep telling her, I think she should run for some sort of an office, you know, mayor, governor of any state, president maybe. But she said, I don't need that hassle. So she's got enough on her plate doing what she does. And believe it or not, she's supposed to be in some sort of like a retirement phase of her life, but she is just passionate, and I think it's fantastic. You know, in the news, there's been so much negativity in the news in every area of life almost, from health, violence, to everything, war. But there are other things that are happening in the news that are affecting parents, teachers. You've probably heard it in Florida and Wisconsin, the Parental Rights and Education Bill, and there's various other names for it. But Maureen is very, very passionate about this as well and adamant about getting the word out about particular situation that is current and topical in the news. So without further ado, I mean, I could talk about her for, you know, a half hour myself, because I just really believe in who she is and what she does. And she's somebody who's everything that Maureen says comes from a heart-centric place. And that is so incredibly rare for, you know, our society these days, and so vitally important for our society these days. Her live and direct from New York, our very special guest, Maureen Santora, as we continue our exclusive close-up radio series with her today. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. We always have a great conversation and even a couple of laughs before we go on the air, and sometimes even on the air. You got to laugh at life. How are you, and welcome back to the show, Maureen.
Thanks, Jim. It's so nice to be on with you again. You're my biggest supporter. I'm grateful for all your kind words, and I'm doing well. And even though it's freezing here in New York, we're hoping for some spring soon, but I'm doing very well. Today I feel it necessary to talk about two different areas of the country that have enacted laws that are very detrimental to the family structure and to parents' rights. And I really feel that it needs to be discussed more thoroughly. I did some research, you know, when I first heard about the Wisconsin school district that passed a ruling that said that parents are not entitled to know if their kids are transgender. Now, parents have every right to know everything about their child. They raised them. They gave them life. They support them. And for a school district to come out with this statement officially and say that anything that about their child has to be earned is an outrageous remark to make. And as any parent knows, they are responsible for their children. If something happens to their child, it's not the school district that's going to pick up the tab and be there in the hospital and be there with their kids. It's going to be the parents. So for them to make this kind of a statement that parents are not entitled and their knowledge of anything that goes on in the school has to be earned is just outrageous. And what bothers me most is that all of these kinds of very, very pro woke kind of attitudes are trying very hard to dismantle the family structure. Parents need to be the ones to discuss issues like sex education and you know, if there are children that are going through questions about their identity, it is the parents and the families that need to be the primary discussion members, not the school district that does not know anything about the child other than what happens in the school building, which is only 7 hours a day, approximately. Sometimes it's a little more, sometimes it's a little less, but parents are the ones that need to be in charge. Now, the school district feels that in Wisconsin that, they want to make sure that all students feel welcome and safe in the schools. And I understand that, and I certainly don't think anybody should be ridiculed or embarrassed or bullied for, different attitudes that they may have. But certainly, schools want to be in control of the kids. They're not in control of the kids. That's not their legal right and not their legal job. Their legal job is to educate the children, to make them thinkers, to make them critical thinkers, to teach them math and English and writing and enable them to be successful in the world of work. It is not their job to teach them attitudes and not their job to teach them, about a whole lot of, things. And it bothers me tremendously. I think, teachers are in a terrible, terrible position in this school district because it pits them against the teachers. They're being told by their administration that they don't have to share information about the children unless the child gives them permission to do so or unless the school district gives them permission to do so. That's not their role. That's not their role. In order to have a good education, I've said this many, many times before, there is a partnership between parents and teachers that has to be solid, that has to be continuing, that has to be open. And sometimes, a teacher has to say things to a parent that is unpleasant. But if you have a good relationship with that parent, the parent understands where the teacher is coming from, and that is in the best interest of the child. To have an administration say, don't share that because you're not, the child doesn't want you to say anything, or don't share that because our policy is not to share information, means that you're cutting off a communication source, which is very detrimental. I also feel that the fact that they have indicated in this ruling that any information has to be earned, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. You're talking about a child. What information has to be earned, and what else are they hiding from the parents And that could include health issues. That could include a number of things, And I'm very, very, very worried about this. And it's now going to the Supreme Court. So my hope is that the Supreme Court in Wisconsin will be wise enough to understand that parents have the primary rights over their children, not the school district. So I just want everybody to be aware of this. I don't know whether or not they've seen it in the news, but I know it was on TV and it was on a number of websites and all of this. And I, I did research, to find out exactly what it was that they were actually saying. And everything that was, presented on the TV was accurate, that the school district feels that parents are not entitled to information about their children regarding their transgender identities, and they're not entitled to get information unless the child gives them permission to do so. That's absolutely blatantly wrong, horrible. And the other issue, on the other end of, the United States, down in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis recently passed a bill that is entitled Parental Rights in Education. It is not called Don't Say Gay. It is called the Parental Rights in Education. And this law that he signed is a law that forbids school districts in the state from encouraging classroom discussion about sexual orientation or gender identity in grades kindergarten through grade 3. So you're talking about children that are 4 going on 5 and 8. Now, I agree with him 100%, 100%. Very young children don't have issues, with very, very, very few exceptions on gender. They cross gender all the time in their play, in their activities. Nobody says a word. Nobody, is concerned. Nobody is alarmed. And he is absolutely correct. When you get into the third grade, and beyond, you are educated enough and you've seen enough on the TV and the news and all of this other to begin a conversation. But little children being taught about sexual orientation is just not age appropriate. It is not age appropriate. And I'm speaking as an educator of early childhood for a very, very long time. And nobody ever made mention when the children were engaged in play, and that is outside play and inside play as well, and in problem-solving activities and in learning. Nobody ever thought that, this child is pretending, that he's doing a feminine kind of activity, therefore he's gay. Nobody ever thought that. Or this little girl is very interested in doing a male-based activity, which no longer exists. There are no male or female occupations. They are open to everybody now. So nobody considers that to be a serious concern. When you get older, that could be a conversation that needs to happen. But certainly in kindergarten through grade 3, I don't think this is appropriate. And the media has gone absolutely wild insinuating that Ron DeSantis is anti-gay. He's absolutely not. He is looking out for the children and the parents to have these conversations because he puts parents above the educators who are trying to push through this bill and make it that every kid from the time they start school is entitled to get an in-depth conversation on transgender, behavior. I think this is terrible. And I hope that, the parents in both of these states in particular, in Wisconsin and Florida, but parents all over start to have their ears perked and start to be paying attention to these kinds of anti-family activities that are being pushed forward in a variety of places, not only in schools, but also in politics. The families are being torn apart. And teachers are being put in a very, very, very bad position. Now, I know that, you know, there were many comments over this Ron DeSantis bill regarding the fact that there were gay teachers and they felt now they couldn't talk about their gayness. Well, they shouldn't talk about their gayness. That has nothing to do with teaching, reading, and math. And you know, what you do in your personal life is your personal life. And if a child should ask you, you know, any questions, you simply answer and you move on. That's not what Ron DeSantis is saying. He is not saying that you cannot answer a question, but what he is saying is that you cannot teach. And it's very disturbing to see how things have been so skewed and not accurately reported. And I think he's spot on regarding protecting young children and protecting families. And families have a responsibility to have these conversations. They're the primary educators of their children. I have said this multiple times. And, you know, I'm sorry that our new elite don't believe that the parents are so very important in a child's life, but they are. They are more important than anything else. So that's those are my views. And I know that this may be very controversial, but I want parents to know in your audience that they have many, many rights and that they need to speak up and they need to be loud and clear. They don't need to be rude. They don't need to be forceful, but they need to be loud and clear in the fact that they are entitled to all the information about the curriculum that is being taught in their school districts. And they have the right to know, and they have the right to object if they feel that this is inappropriate for their children. And that's it.
So beautifully and eloquently said, as always. And you detailed some of it through that wonderful statement, and I think it's so important to get it out. What are some of the long-term negative effects of, from your perspective, Maureen, of bills such as these, the direct bills themselves, but also opening up the door for other kinds of similar bills to now be thought of and created in just about any aspect of one's existence and being and life?
Well, I think one of the main things is that you're teaching children inadvertently to hide things from their parents. You know, we have a very, very, very big problem with drugs. And, you're teaching kids inadvertently to not tell their parents things that they need to know because the parents are the advocates for the children. And, you know, if somebody, is being secretive and the parents are not being told that they're, you know, essential in the family, but they're only there to pay the bills and clothe the children and all of this, you have an elimination of the core of the family, which is that family stays together and supports each other no matter what. And no matter how bad things are, it's your parents and your family that are going to come to your aid in an emergency. So you're inadvertently teaching kids, well, you don't have to tell your mother, you don't have to tell your father. You know, it's like, you know, the little game, you know, secret where, you know, you have a secret and you don't tell somebody, you know, but then you tell somebody else and they make, you know, a change in the story and then it goes on and on and on. And by the time it gets back to the source, it's nothing like the secret that was originally started. This is very dangerous. This is very dangerous. I mean, I believe that, you know, children need to communicate with their parents on what goes on. I have a grandson who, you know, is staying with us now because the school is very close to where we live, and he doesn't want to travel on the train and the bus. So he stays with us from Monday to Friday, and every day we have a conversation of what goes on in school, what happens in school. He's very open. He's very, you know, but it's because we've had this dialogue. Well, that has to happen in the schools as well. And, you know, drug use occurs when there's secrecy, when people don't know, well, this is not going to harm you, take this, and then all of a sudden you're in a major, major problem. But getting back to these bills, these are the beginning, you know, seeds to plant secrecy. And we need an open dialogue in a family. We need an open dialogue with parents and students. We need an open dialogue with teachers and students. And, you know, you are forbidding teachers from communicating with parents. So this is now, you know, the state taking over or the government taking over your parental rights. So it goes beyond just these two bills. It goes to the nature of the aim of this, which is to eliminate the family structure and eliminate the parents' knowledge of what's going on with their children. I think it's very dangerous, very, very dangerous.
So what for somebody listening to our show right now, live or perhaps in the archives, because we archive all of our episodes, what would you say, what could one do? Are we talking to just the parents who currently have kids in school or will have kids in school? What can one do if they feel this? They feel, oh, well, this is something that, you know, is beyond me. I'm just one person, or, you know, we're just one family. We'll never be able to override or at least have a voice that's heard or at least have the opportunity to express ourselves, because we're in such a environment now where everybody is yelling and screaming and attacking and nobody listens. Nobody takes time to really, and I shouldn't say nobody. I mean, it seems just like a lot of people are not hearing or taking the time to hear what people are saying. It's either or all the time now, and the arguing and the vitriol and so many aspects of life. So if somebody is listening to this episode of Close Up Radio with us, Maureen, and they're like, well, I agree, and, you know, this is, hey, this is just not for me or for my kids or grandkids or just, I just don't like the idea. What could the average person listening do if they feel their voice doesn't matter and they're powerless because they're not necessarily maybe in the educational system themselves, or they're not, you know, of their hometown or something? What could they do?
Well, all of these people are elected officials that are making these decisions. They're all elected. And so the first thing that you can do is make a telephone call or on the internet, type a message to the website of the various, politicians who feel that this is okay, and express your concern. The second thing is to tell your friends and have a discussion with them. And one little voice can turn into a group. One group can turn into a larger group. And, we as citizens have to work very, very hard to protect our children from the future that looks like it's going to be just very daunting and very disturbing. But we need to protect them. And even if you don't have children, you know, this should matter to you, because this generation will then grow up to become the next politician or the next person in charge or the next boss. And so we need to be very, very careful. Education is a very special entity in and of itself, because it creates future citizens and it creates future adults. And so what happens when kids are little, if we don't pay attention to that and we don't, you know, call the community school board, call the, you know, education board, call the, the politicians. I'm on the phone on a regular basis calling our politicians and expressing my views. Now, whether or not they hear them or not, I don't know. But I can say that I'm doing this, and this is my little way of trying to at least make them aware that there are people who are in their constituency who feel that what they are doing is terrible. And I'm never rude and I'm never disrespectful, but I bring out the points. The other thing that can be done is that you know, you can do some research. When you hear about these kinds of bills and you hear about these, atrocities, in my opinion, do a little research and find out what the bill actually says. The Ron DeSantis bill has been touted as the Don't Say Gay bill. Well, it's not Don't Say Gay. It is a parental rights in education bill, and that's a big, big difference. And he is being slandered by many of the, gay rights individuals that he is against gays. He is not. What he is simply saying is that in kindergarten through grade 3, there should be no discussions on transgender activities. There should be no discussions. The children are not, it's not an age-appropriate discussion to have. He is absolutely correct on that. So in spite of what the media has said, you know, if everybody just takes the time to do a little research, then they're able to then, you know, pen off a note or call a friend or whatever. And you know, in unity, there is strength. So the more people that make the effort to call, I know that, you know, when you write a letter to a congressperson, they may not respond to you, but they've read it. Somebody in their office has read it, and they take note. Well, if you get 100 letters, then 100 people have voiced the same concern, and it matters to them because they want to be reelected. They want to be reelected. And so that's the power that we as citizens have, that we can, you know, change the tide, and we can change the scenario of, you know, just letting people do whatever they wish to do without thinking about the family structure and without thinking about our future citizens that are going to be voters. And I have no problem whatsoever with transgender individuals. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care, you know, what your sexual orientation is. It never bothered me. I've never even asked because it's not important in my friendships with people. I only care about our similar attitudes. I only care about the kindness that one, you know, displays toward me and the, you know, activities that we share together as a common bond. That's the only basis upon friendships for me. So this is not about being anti-gay or anti-transgender. This is about teaching young children in an inappropriate time in their lives something that they shouldn't be learning. And certainly having a community district in Wisconsin stating that parents are not entitled to this information is just beyond outrageous. Outrageous.
Unbelievable. We only have less than 2 minutes. These episodes with you go by so fast, and I hope we get a chance to more, because just having you with us at these very overwhelming times as a voice of reason on so many subjects is beautiful. In the remaining 60 seconds we have, could you just share quickly the Christopher Centaur Educational Scholarship Fund? Because I know that's obviously near and dear to your heart.
Yes, we are still giving scholarships every year, and we have donors that donate to us, and anybody that wants to donate, you know, can do so. Currently, our website is in the process of being remade, so if anybody wants any information about the scholarship, they can contact me at Maureen Santora, all lowercase, at yahoo.com, and I will answer them. And they just need to put in the subject, you know, CAS scholarship, and then I will address them. We give scholarships to students in high school. They have to write an essay, but we have a series of judges who judge the essays, and I can send all the information to anybody who is interested in this.
Beautiful work that you're doing and have been doing, you know, all your life, Maureen, and always a pleasure to have an opportunity to share it with our viewers and our listeners from around the world on Close Up Television Radio. And I hope we get a chance to explore some more and so many related pressing topics. Thanks for joining me once again, Maureen, on this episode. Always a pleasure, and I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I always have with you.
I enjoy speaking to you immensely.
You are very welcome for just everything that you do, and I really appreciate all this time that you spend with us, Maureen. It really is extraordinary. You enjoy the rest of your day, and say hi to Al for me. Yes, listeners, I know Maureen and her husband, and they're extraordinary people. We've done a lot of work with them with Close Up Radio. Maureen, thank you so very much for being with us. And gang, thank you for being with us as well. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, and I invite you to stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another extraordinary guest right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.